Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 5th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study. We can continue to see the events that are taking place and know, without a doubt, that you have told us in advance. We ask today, Lord, that you would give us the strength that is necessary, that we might remain faithful to you only. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today we want to continue with the subject, The Rise of the Christian Coalition, Part 4. The title again, The Rise of the Christian Coalition, Part 4. Of course, we've been taking a look at an article that is found on the World News Daily Information Clearinghouse website. And the title of the article is The Despoiling of America. The Despoiling of America. Again, the name of the website that we're dealing with today is World News Daily Information Clearinghouse. The title of the article is The Despoiling of America. And the writer of the article is Catherine Yurica. Y-U-R-I-C-A. Now, this article was originally written back on February the 11th, 2004. And it is incredibly significant because we're looking at the growth of what we see happening around us now. Of course, when we look out and we see the things that are happening, we think that this is when it began. No, it did not. It began quite a while back, even before 2004. But we're taking a look at this today. Now, in our last session, we were taking a look at we introduced the idea of Jim Jones, and I'm sure you remember who he is and the circumstances surrounding his life. So we will begin there as we continue today. Let me give you the title again, The Despoiling of America by Catherine Yurica. It's found in the World News Daily Information Clearinghouse website, and it was published back on February the 11th, 2004. All right, let's continue with the article. Jim Jones proved religious people would support even immoral political deeds if their leaders found a way to frame those deeds as God's will. The idea was brilliant. Its framers knew they could glorify greed, hate, and nationalism, and even a Christian empire with ease. The religion the canny thinkers founded follows the reverse of communism and secular humanism. It poured political and economic ideology into a religion, and that combustible mixture produced dominionism. What was dominionism? A new political faith that had the additional advantage of insulating the cult from attacks on its political agenda by giving its practitioners the covering to simply cry out, "You're attacking me for my religious beliefs," and that's religious persecution. So in other words, the point that we're going to open up at is where we left off when these individuals decide, these dominionists decide that they want to put in place their belief system and control it. And when people object, they have this very interesting call. And they say, "You're attacking me for my religious beliefs," and that's religious persecution. Continue. But how could a leader get away with a religious fraud that barely hides a destructive and false intent? Jim Jones' history holds the answer. He not only proved the obvious fact that people are blinded by their religious beliefs and will only impulse guidance, impute goodness, mercy, and religious motivations to their leader. But Jim Jones proved the efficacy of the basic teaching of Machiavelli. Now, of course, we're going to be talking a little bit about Machiavelli, that philosopher. All right. Continue. Machiavelli was a leader who only appears in certain areas, but has had a tremendous impact on leaders of all kinds in this world. In fact, Machiavelli taught that it was dangerous for a leader to practice goodness. Instead, he must pretend to be good and then do the opposite. Machiavelli taught that a leader will succeed on appearance alone. A good leader puts his finger to the wind and changes course whenever it is expedient to do so. Now, of course, I'm sure that you're recognizing that this sounds rather familiar to some of the things that we're seeing happening today. All right, continuing. Machiavelli wrote this revealing passage that could be applied not only to false religious leaders, but to a false president. Now, I'm reading the article. That's not me making that up, okay? I'm reading from the same article we read in our previous three sessions. Let me read that sentence again. Machiavelli wrote this revealing passage that could be applied not only to false religious leaders, but to a false president. Quote, Alexander VI did nothing else but deceive men. He thought of nothing else and found the occasion for it. No man was ever more able to give assurances or affirmed things with stronger oaths, and no man observed them less. You remember now he's talking here about Alexander VI. However, Alexander VI always succeeded in his deceptions, as he well knew this aspect of things. Everybody sees what you appear to be. Few feel what you are, and those few will not dare to oppose themselves to anything that you might do, who have the majesty of the state to defend them or you, and in the actions of men, and especially of princes, from which there is no appeal. The end, therefore, justifies the means. So that is the philosophy of Machiavelli. And you see it happening all over the world. And recently, you see it more openly in the United States of America. All right? So Machiavelli is making the point that you should not expect people to love you. You should pretend to be doing good when in actual fact you are doing the exact opposite. Now, who is this Machiavelli? His first name is Niccolo. He was born on May the 3rd, 1469 in Florence, Italy, and he died in the 21st of June, 1527. He was a statesman, a political philosopher, and wrote much in terms of guiding people's lives along a pathway to success. Machiavelli's ideas had a profound impact on political leaders throughout the modern West, helped by the new technology of the printing press. During the first generations after Machiavelli, his main influence was in non-republican movements. Catholic writers associated Machiavelli with the Protestants, whereas Protestants say he was a Catholic. Now, that's really interesting. Both of them thought he was the opposite. In fact, he was apparently influenced by both Catholics and Protestant kings. All right. So, as I said before, he wrote a book called The Prince. And I'm just going to read one paragraph that he wrote in the book here. And I'm talking about Machiavelli's book. On page 121, it says here, Machiavelli believed as a ruler, he was better to be widely feared than to be greatly loved. Now, that's an important sentence. And he's not the only one who feels that way. Mussolini felt exactly the same way. So did Adolf Hitler. These men who turned out to be dictatorial and authoritarian, they really fell in love with that philosophy. Let me read that sentence again for you. Machiavelli believed as a ruler, it was better to be widely feared than to be greatly loved. A loved ruler retains authority by obligation, while a feared leader rules by fear of punishment. Continuing, Machiavelli wrote this revealing passage that could be applied not only to false religion, but also, as we said, to presidents. And we took a look at what he said there about Alexander VI, etc., etc. Now, chillingly, Machiavelli also advises his readers the following. Let a prince, therefore, aim at conquering and maintaining the state. Now, that's interesting, because he makes this point very specifically. Let a prince, therefore, aim at conquering and maintaining the state. Notice he doesn't use the terminology serving, but rather conquering and maintaining the state. Machiavelli also wrote how to govern dominions that previously were occupied by other people or on their own laws. His words eerily reflect the Bush administration's decisions on how to rule Iraq when those states which have been acquired are accustomed to live at liberty under their own laws. There are three ways of holding them down. So now the author of this article is making some comparisons between how George W. Bush started out his presidency, and we're talking about the year 2000, going all the way forward to 2004. All right. So let me just repeat what Machiavelli says here. He also wrote how to govern dominions that previously used to be occupied by their own laws. He makes the point that it is better to be feared than to be loved. Now, this is something rather interesting. And I don't know if some of the, I have not been able to find out whether some of the authoritarian or the dictatorial rulers in this world today have all had an opportunity to study Machiavelli. But there is a serious similarity between most of those men that you see ruling the earth today. Vladimir Putin, the Chinese president, Erdogan from Turkey. All of these men have seemed to come from the same place in their thinking. But here are three things that Machiavelli suggests to leaders who want to maintain their control. First, he says, you must despoil or desecrate the nation. Now, this is his philosophy that he's writing now. So if you want to maintain control, you despoil or desecrate the nation. Second is to go and live there in person so that your influence will be felt on all levels at all times. And third is to allow them to live under their own new laws, creating within the country a new government composed of a few who will keep it friendly toward you. Now, I hope you're getting this, because there are so many similarities that I'm reading here that obviously portray what we're seeing happening now. So let's go back for a minute and take a look again at Machiavelli. Machiavelli believes that it's better to be widely feared than to be greatly loved. And he believes that this applies not just to religious leaders, but it applies to presidents. And he also makes the point that if a prince is going to maintain or conquer the state, he must have that kind of strength of character to intimidate those over whom he will rule. And he has three things that he must implement in order to be a ruler. First, you despoil or desecrate your fundamentals, the laws that you have, the standards that you have. Second, he must be there in person. You can't rule by living apart from. And third, when those new laws are put in place, you need to bring together a small group, a few individuals who are friendly toward you. Continuing the article, it says this: because this government, being created by the prince, knows that it cannot exist without his friendship and protection, and will do all it can to keep them, then he must indeed choose carefully those with whom he works. What is more, a city used to liberty can be more easily held by means of its citizens than in any other way if you wish to preserve it. And Machiavelli follows with this caveat: in truth, there is no sure method of holding them except by despoiling them. And whoever becomes the ruler of a free city and does not destroy it can expect to be destroyed by it. Now, this is amazing. Many years ago, I went through some of his material, but I am amazed now that I'm reading these articles, and I remember what I was reading back then when I was in school. It is very close to what we are seeing happening now. Many of the things that we see happening in government, not just in the United States, and I want you to know this, in parts of Europe also, and in other parts of the world. But you notice the Machiavelli approach to life and liberty and his desire to control, his desire to rule. Anyone who becomes the ruler of a free city, he says, and does not destroy it, can expect to be destroyed by it. For it can always find a motive for rebellion in the name of liberty and its ancient usages. Now that is powerful. And as you see happening here today, as you see some of the changes that are happening, even the challenges to the Constitution in the United States of America, as we sit here and talk today, this is an amazing thing. Now, Machiavelli goes back to the 1400s. And the article itself is not referring to anything that is happening in the United States of America. In other words, the article wasn't written because of the president that we have or the government that we have now. This article was published back in the year 2004. As a matter of fact, the author, as we shall see, was mentioning some of the choices that George W. Bush took after the attack on Iraq. All right? But it is interesting to note, and that one sentence, I'd like to repeat it for you again. Whoever becomes the ruler of a free city and does not destroy it can expect to be destroyed by it, for it can always find a motive of rebellion in the name of liberty. Now that's powerful. And when you begin to see exactly the intent of the article and the name of the article, the heading of it, the despoiling of America, it means actually the deconstruction of the administrative state, the way the United States of America was put together. All of a sudden you see some serious changes taking place. And these changes that are being referred to in this article did not begin in 2016 with Donald Trump. The writer is describing some of the changes that were made by George W. Bush when he came into office. Now, as we continue to take a look at this article and certain things that are said here, you will see some more of what you are seeing now. And you will begin to understand the powerful combination between the politics and the religion. Now, as I said before, we talk a lot these days about the far-right evangelicals and the amount of influence that they have on the United States Senate, the executive, and the judiciary. but this did not start here and now. It started way back, and it will only intensify as time passes by. You and I need to be aware that all of what God has said in advance is coming to pass. And you and I also need to be aware that if we are faithful, God has promised to protect us in time of trouble. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to see clearly, not just the political scene or the religious scene that surrounds us, but we should begin to take a look inside of us to see those things that need to be transformed within, so that we might be strengthened and restored to stand with you and for you. We pray, Lord, that you would help as we go forward day by day, that we will commit to continued study of your word for ourselves, so that the strength that you desire us to have, we will indeed acquire it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again today, we must thank you for your consistency in listening to the broadcast each and every day. We're grateful that God has drawn us together that we can study. And we'd like to make an appeal to you that you make a contribution to this ministry so that we might be able to finance our continued service in this area. God bless you and thank you. This has been your daily briefing, January the 5th, 2021.